Father, we bow before you this morning and just thank you for the prayers in the Bible, all the way from grieving prayers of desperation, as in Hannah's case, as a barren woman, to a prayer of praise. And so, Lord, we want to be able to come to you in all conditions, at all times. And this morning, as we look at a wonderful prayer of praise, I just wonder how often each of us really offer praise prayers to you. And so may we learn from this one, Lord, and we just want to thank you this morning and praise your name for who you are. So as we sing this familiar song together, may we sing it with true praise in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So 97, praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. We got plenty of hymns. Everybody got a book? Okay. Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? We'll turn in your Bibles this morning to a prayer of praise in 1 Samuel. Last time that I was with you, we went over the prayer of Hannah as a barren woman. She was under tremendous pressure and even bitterness with Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, who had children, and Hannah was barren. And so she had been praying, we're pretty sure, for quite some time. But it's very interesting in a way. I think her prayer was smaller than what God had in mind, and I wonder how often our prayers are much smaller than what God has in mind for us. I believe she wanted to have a son to give to her husband, but I think God wanted her to have a son to give to him, because he needed a priest, he needed a prophet for the nation of Israel. And so he used Hannah to get the man that he wanted, who was Samuel. But we see in her prayer there that she was so deep in prayer that she couldn't even speak. She spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, and Eli thought she was drunk. But then we see, after she prayed and was told to go in peace, the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. A beautiful, beautiful end to that prayer, where she has trusted in the Lord, she's given it to him, and now she is at peace. Well, God answered that prayer, and she became pregnant. And now we have the wonderful prayer of praise, which is modeled after, later, by David, I believe, in Psalms all the way through, but also in 2 Samuel 22 and 23, as we get to the end of David's career as king. Certainly Psalm 23 was the last one he wrote, I believe, or the last praise he wrote, song he wrote. And remarkable similarities to the words in Hannah's song. And then we have in Luke chapter 1, Mary the Magnificent, when she was advised by the angel that she was going to have the child, she has this beautiful, beautiful prayer of praise as well. And we see even in Hannah's situation that I think she's quoting Deuteronomy, I think she's also quoting Job at times, So scripture prayers are always good. Scripture songs are always good. And today we want to look at a prayer of praise. A prayer of praise. We read in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord." Does your heart rejoice in the Lord? Are you rejoicing just in who He is? "My horn," or my strength, or my power, "is exalted," or raised up, "in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Do you do that? If you watch much TV news, boy, that's hard to do. So I would say don't watch the news. I think you can go all week long without watching the news once, and you won't miss any good things that have happened. You may miss bloodshed upon bloodshed upon bloodshed upon bloodshed, just as in the days of Hosea, in the sin of Israel and Judah. Because as we have turned away from the Lord, our whole news is filled with bloodshed, is it not? Shootings, one after the other. You can't even keep up with them, they're so fast. Whether it's Ottawa, Canada, or whether it's a high school in Seattle, or whether it's officers in Sacramento. I mean, I don't watch TV because we don't have one. There's one good reason not to watch it. And the other reason is that it depresses me whenever I see the news for very long, because I find rather than rejoicing in my salvation, I'm getting concerned about Ebola and all this other stuff and about ISIS and one thing and another. But here we read, "I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." And then listen to this, "No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." So, CNN, take that. Put that up in your news nostrils. "Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." Boy, that would speak to all of us, wouldn't it? How proudly we talk at times. How much arrogance comes from our mouth. Or at least I'm speaking for myself. "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren is born 7, and she has many children who are many children, and she who has many children have become feeble." There we see a reversal of human conditions which the Lord brings about. And we can look at our lives and see such reversal of human conditions, can we not? We also see a little prophecy here, I believe, where she says, "Even the barren has borne 7. Now, it's kind of interesting in a sense, because we read in the next chapter that she had 5 more children besides Samuel. So the scripture only reports 6. She says 7, if this is speaking of herself. But also 7 is a number of perfection, and even if she didn't have 7 actual children, the barren has borne perfection in a way because of the Lord. And she who has many children has become feeble. Some people read that she was praying against Peninnah. And Peninnah, now that Hannah has children, no longer has that exclusive right to the title of, "I can bear children and you can't." And so we know that Elkanah loved Hannah above Peninnah, because we're told that. Now we read in verse 6, "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. He makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory." Can you really comprehend how He's lifted you, how He's lifted me as a beggar from the ash heap, to make us inherit the throne of glory? Can you really comprehend what it really means when Jesus said, "Rejoice in this, that your name is written in the book of life"? You know, when we dwell on those things, boy, don't our problems here on earth become just nothing? even our physical pain is a little harder in a sense, but yet we know the promises that through eternity you'll have no pain. And so I'm not saying that when you have pain it's easy to focus on that, but I do know that we can focus on it, and we must focus intentionally, because you don't have to tell your body to feel the pain, do you? You wake up with, you know, let's say you've got a painful condition. Well, I got to remember to sense this pain today, or otherwise the day will go by without me. No, your physical flesh will let you know that. But the other thing is true. You can go throughout the day without ever rejoicing in the Lord, can't you? And when you do that, then the pain really becomes pain, in a sense, it seems like. To set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Do you know you're all kings and priests because of what he has done for you? How do you like that role, huh? For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints. Are you his saints? Are you a believer? Do you believe in him? Then what? The promise there, he will guard your feet. I also believe that applies to the body of Christ, the church. However, but, on the other hand, the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Oh, how they make a lot of noise today.
Yes.
But they won't make noise much longer. For by strength no man shall prevail. Oh, wow. What government in the world is not violating that particular statement, right? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord in Zechariah, right? The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces from heaven. He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. So when you think we have no hope, in these last days, it's so bad. How could the Lord allow this to happen? He's in control of everything. He will guard the feet of his saints. The wicked shall be silent in darkness. By strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. The Lord's coming back. Coming back soon, we believe. For sure we know he's coming back. We don't know when, but he's coming back. Every time you pray the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, you're meeting the call to obedience which Jesus gave to the disciples talking about his return, and says men always ought to pray, right? And that was 2,000 years ago. How much more now? And when we're called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it's the same thing, is it not? There will be no peace in Jerusalem till Messiah comes. So that's the same prayer. And we see, from heaven he will thunder against them, he will judge the ends of the earth. And then finally, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, of the anointed. The marvelous prophecy, look at the prophecy here in this prayer of praise of this woman, maybe 1,100 years before Christ, or maybe 1,200 years before Christ, still prophesying the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Anointed One. This is the first use in the Bible of the word anointed. And then we see a couple of more verses just in closing. Then Elkanah went to his house in Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. So the commitment that Hannah made to give him back to the Lord is being executed. Even as a small child, he's been left under the care of Eli in the tabernacle in Shiloh, and he will spend his life serving the Lord. And in verse 12, you can see the spiritual state of the land at this point, in that notice what it says about the two sons of the high priest and the way it worked. That one of the sons, usually the oldest of the high priest, would become the next high priest. So look at what it says about the wonderful sons of Eli. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. How would you like to have priests that don't know the Lord? We got plenty of them, don't we? And pastors. And of course they were violating every rule there was. The priests were to stick the fork in the cooked meat after the fat had been cooked out of it and the blood had been cooked out of it, and whatever stuck to the three-pronged fork kind of a thing they took for themselves, which was in accordance with the law. But what these guys were doing, they said, oh, no, don't cook it. We want it raw. And they would stick the fork in and take the whole piece, because uncooked, I mean, you could pick up the whole piece of meat with the three prongs, right? And they said before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed. So these were people coming to offer sacrifices to the Lord, and they were being ripped off by these guys. They said, give me meat for roasting to the priest and so forth. So I don't want to go on into all of the corruptness, but this is the backdrop of Samuel coming into the world, and Samuel coming into the priesthood and into that being a prophet. And so we see here then that this is Hannah's prayer of praise after she has had the answer for her barrenness, and now is the praise from a blessed woman, not a barren woman anymore. And so as we pray this morning, may we pray as blessed sons and daughters of him, not as barren ones. He has saved us. He has given us the great gift of grace, and he has also given us the gift of prayer, the power of prayer. And so he will hear our prayers, and we want to pray in one accord as one little group here, led by the Spirit and responding to that. So let's spend the next half hour or so in group prayer, and then the last 10 minutes or so we'll break into groups of a couple or maybe three that we can all pray. Father, we thank you for this prayer of praise by Hannah. What a model it is for us, and we want to praise you in our prayers as well as make our needs known, as well as interceding for others. But this morning, Lord, we do also want to include prayers for the body of Christ. We want to include prayers for the persecuted church, and we want to just pray as you would prompt us to pray, Lord. So lead us now in this time of prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.